The following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
I've been telling you about True Car for what, a year? If you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car, and you're going to be confident in your car buying experience. Let me tell you something once. I wanted a convertible. I went to a place, and the guy said to me, in Southern California, let me ask you a question. How often do you think you're going to use a convertible in Southern California? It was actually said to me. And I said, I don't know, 12 months out of the year. You want to buy a car? Look, skip all that MSRP, manufacturer suggested retail price. True Car dealers, you save on average over $3,000 off MSRP. And you know it's going to be true price, which is a great price because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. Don't covet. And your certified dealers know this, so they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. True Car is going to earn your business. Save that cake, babe. True Car.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
It just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't going to be able to take that over and 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 over again. They just not gonna want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a motherfucker face. Then y'all have to worry about him no more.
Hey, man!
More stories, comedy, science. This is a good one. Boing! As my computer chips and chirps and burrs and whistles and wings and bings. This is a good one. It's a weird one because it was requested by Landon Lynn that I do one of my own bits. So I was very reluctant to do one of my own bits because personally I think, I don't know. Honestly, I don't construct my bits the way the comedians I have been doing comedy science with do. I'm well aware of the fact that everything I say might sound a little precious and a little bit like, hey, look at me, who am I? It's not my intent whatsoever. But when I speak on stage and it comes out, it's not until way later that I can look back at what I said and I'm now doing as a bit. I write a lot of material on the fly live. That's why my live shows are the best live shows. Yes, they are. I'm in Irvine this weekend and I got a lot of dates coming up. I took dates off first 2 weeks of August because honestly I just needed some time to be a person. I'm going to be in San Antonio, Texas. Yeah! September 7th, 8th, and 9th at Laugh Out Loud in San Antonio, Texas. And I know the Moriers, Carlos, 1218 artist. I know you, Marco Sharko, I know you guys are rallying hard, but anybody else out there listening, Laugh Out Loud, San Antonio, Texas, September 7th, 8th, and 9th. If you're in California, Hollywood Improv on Melrose, Saturday, August 11th, Saturday, August 25th. That's the womb. That's where I am born every single time. August 11th, Saturday, August 11th, Hollywood Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. Please come. Tickets are only $20. Saturday, August 25th, Hollywood Improv on Melrose. Tickets are only $20. It's me for 90 minutes. September 7th, 8th, and 9th, Laugh Out Loud in San Antonio, Texas. September 20th, Boston City Winery. September 21st, Sellersville Theater, 1894, Sellersville, Pennsylvania. September 22nd, The Music Box at the Borgata. in Atlantic City. Okay, Landon Lynn requested that I do one of my own bits, and I do a thing on stage where I realized a long time ago, whenever I talk to the audience, I'm looking at, like, for my notes. I don't have any notes because it's my bit. I just have it in my head. None of my material is cataloged anywhere. None of it is written down. I'm like a Toltec Indian, and this is the Four Agreements. So I need to be John Miguel Ruiz and write this shit down, or it'll be all... I've already forgotten over an hour of material. So maybe I should get my shit... Get your shit... It's 1975, boy. Get your shit together. Jesus. That made me laugh so hard. Whenever I talk to the audience or ask them a question, they're really hesitant to answer because they think I'm going to pick on them. And that's in my everyday life too. Like if I'm, sometimes I'll meet somebody and they're always sort of lobbing roast jokes my way about me to beat me to the punch. But that's not how I roll. I don't, that's not the type of thing that I do. I don't hang around and just break people's balls nonstop. I used to, maybe in my 20s, but I don't. So the audience just assumes, because maybe because I played a bad, bad guy in Bob Sugar on Jerry Maguire, that if I'm like, what do you do for a living? I'm going to go, well, what are you, a fucking jerk for doing that for a living? And I don't have any material making fun of you in the second row, you know, wearing shorts and a T-shirt that says, who farted? I mean, that would be good material, I guess. But, like, I got my own shit to remember. I can't go into your life and start fucking with you in the front row. So I realized a long time ago, meaning, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I have to let the audience know somehow that when I talk to them, I'm really only speaking with them, not at them. And you guys have seen me live. You know I'll say it almost every single show. If I ask you a question, I really just want to know the answer. I tell them, look, you guys go to jobs every day that you hate. If you're going to spend your money to come see me do stand-up comedy, I'm honored. I'm not going to pick on you and make you feel bad. And the bit, I say, I didn't like the word bit. Buddy Hackett once told me, don't say bit, say stories. If it's a bit, everybody knows you're putting them on. Say story. That way they go, oh, okay. Lean forward. You got a story to tell us. I'll say on stage, you guys have jobs you hate, some of you, and what's amazing is when you drive to a job you hate, every single day, there's a part of that drive, whether it's a bend in the road, a particular billboard or intersection, there's that everyday moment in your car where you think to yourself, fuck, fuck this place. I'm going to take a shit in the fish tank. I'm getting fired. I'm 45 years old. I work at the Pearl Vision Center. This is bullshit. That gets a laugh, and that leads me into why I don't pick on the audience, which I'm going to get into in a second. Email morestories, 3737@gmail.com. I would love some suggestions. Also, as far as the life coach business goes, if you want me to help you, make sure you put in all capitals, advice, in the subject matter. I can help you. Judson emailed me at morestories3737@gmail.com. As the subject line suggests, JJ, I want to say thank you. After listening to your podcast for a few years, I made it to my first live show in Addison, Texas this past weekend. My girlfriend and I had a great time. You had us laughing the entire time. Our faces hurt. That was something I never thought I would experience. You can't prepare for a live Jay Moore show. I look forward to seeing you again. Also, I've enjoyed the breakdown of jokes, podcasts, the couple I've heard thus far, and I realized this weekend you did it to yourself a while back in one of your singular podcasts as you ruminated on the similar hates aspect of a relationship. Struck me as I wondered how your live show would go compared to the podcasts. Wow, totally different experience, different in a great way. Glad you're doing well, and you can put your name on that. Take care, Judson. Thank you, Judson. I appreciate it, brother, very much. Yeah, my live shows, I'll put up against anybody's live shows. And that's not me being a dick. That's just straight up. I'm just, it's presence with an S at the end, not a TS. I don't give the audience presents. Hi guys, here's a puppy, there's your bike. So I say, I'm not going to pick on the audience. I have to say that every show, because every time I look down at you guys to ask you a question, you look back up at me like, no, not tonight, not tonight, not tonight. And then I go over here and it's like, no, let's not. I have a bad ovary, move it along. Now, personally, bad ovary now makes me laugh a lot. I think it's really funny. And if this was somebody else's bit, I would say that's just fucking brilliant, because it's so bizarre a thing to say. But because it's myself, I'm not going to really say it, because that would be gross. But it's I have a bad ovary. It doesn't mean like they're dying or anything. I don't know. But see, I don't craft that. I didn't write that. That came out one night on stage live. And well, it's just going to be a big commercial for you coming to see my live shows. And that's why my live shows, I really confidently say, are the best, because you will be at a show where 5 minutes of material just catch fire and come to life right there in the moment. This entire bit, story, don't forget to say story, all right, happened live one night, maybe like in Irvine or Brea, I think it was Orange County, where I say, and again, this is only so I can talk to the audience as the show continues without them not answering back, because I'm not going to fill the space by shitting on them. I will sit in that silence and enjoy the quiet where you can hear like the air conditioning on in the room. And I even tell the audience that. I go, 99.9% of comedians, when it's really quiet, they get really uncomfortable. And then I say nothing for as long as everybody can stand it. And it gets super, super quiet. And I go, not daddy. I like the quiet. It's like an adult swim at the community pool for me. I stretch out, do my laps. So I'll say, I don't like when comedians pick on the audience. It's always just because they can't think of their next bit or whatever. They go, hey, buddy, what's your name? And the guy in the front row says, Bob. And the comedian goes, Bob, how do you spell that? B-O-B. And Bob's in the front row going, yeah, wait, what the fuck just happened? Get a good seat, you're an asshole. Maybe I misread the marquee. Amy Poehler's got a TV show with one of the funniest men in the world, Nick Offerman, Making It. It's on NBC. You're going to want to watch that. People make things. Nick Offerman's a master woodworker. He actually has a woodworking shop. Amy Poehler, I don't know. I know she makes great comedy, but I'm not sure what she does carpentry-wise, or maybe, I don't know if she can work a colander or a pizza cutter. So this is going to be a good show on NBC. Nick Offerman, Amy Poehler, Making It. Hey, Bob, you ever spell your name backwards? Yes, every day. It's a palindrome. Yeah, same forwards and backwards. Let me tell you something funny, man. I work at Napa Auto Parts. I clear $418.01 a week. And yes, that 1 cent fucking bothers me. You see this girl? I've been trying to fuck her for 8 months. I finally got the balls to ask her out. She said yes. I brought her here to see you, and you're going to pick on me tonight? You're dead. That's my new name. You're fucking dead. You better do 8 hours up there and hope I fall asleep in this Long Island iced tea. Because the moment you step off that stage, I'm going to crack you in your temple with a right hook. Now, if you've seen my live show, you know I take a lot of detours and circle back. Detour, it's like Easter eggs. I hide them all over the set, but I do it in real time. So then it's up to me to get them back. And that's what I'm doing on stage. As I'm talking, I'm thinking, I left an Easter egg out here somewhere. I have to go get it. Which ties to what Darren in Colorado. Hey, Darren, I love you, brother, so much. He said to me, your act's like a magic show. I said, I agree, but how so? He goes, well, you walk out on stage and you throw 20 boomerangs out into the night. And then an hour later, you catch 35, and we don't even know where the fuck they came from, or if you even know where they came from. And the answer is, I do know, or maybe I don't, but I'll never tell you. I'll never tell you what's ad-libbed and what's not, and that's the insanity of it all for me, personally, is circling back, going, picking up an Easter egg, put it in the basket, going back to the other place I just was talking, like this explanation right now. So I go, Long Island, you better hope I fall asleep in my Long Island iced tea, because the minute you walk off stage, I'm going to crack you in your temple with a right hook and knock you out. Long Island iced tea, then the detour begins. That's the drink. Anybody drinking Long Island iced tea tonight? It's good, because that's the drink for when you don't have time to get fucked up, but you have got to get fucked up. Like, you're on a date, you didn't realize that wasn't an upper lip, it's an entire scar. And you go, I'm going to go to the bar, I'll be right back. And you just go to the bartender, hey, how you doing? Could you take every single bottle you have and pour it into a very tall glass and top it off with a little bit of Coca-Cola so I don't die? And do you have any NyQuil back? Could I get a NyQuil back? And as I turn, could you hit me in the face with a fucking frying pan? Because I got to get put to sleep. So give me that L.I., Long Island iced tea. So back to the comedian, me, on stage, talking to the audience, letting them know I'm not going to pick on them. You better do an hour. Hope I fall asleep. You better do 8 hours up there or whatever. And hope I fall asleep on my Long Island iced tea. Because the minute you walk off stage, I'm going to crack you in the temple with a right hook. And I'm going to knock you out. You will be unconscious. And then I'm going to rape your ass. Yes. Not in the crowd goes, whoa, wait a minute. I go, not in a gay way. Not even in a dominant way. Just in a you will never forget what that guy's name was way. And that'll draw a crowd, funny man. Two straight guys butt-fucking outside of a comedy club. The entire audience surrounding us yelling, fuck, 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 fuck. Now, if I'm going to stop here and break this part down. The fact that a guy is going to knock a comedian out for making fun of his name being a palindrome is so nonsensical and goofy that I personally love it. The fact that he then is going to actually fuck the man and his butthole makes me laugh. As I've never done this before in my life, breaking down my own material. So thank you, Landon, and I love you, brother. I love you. I really do. This is incredible. This is very weird. Very weird to do. So the fact that an audience member, if you're going to fuck another guy in the ass, I sound like Norm. If you're going to fuck another guy in his ass, you know, I'm no homosexual or prison inmate, but I think one of the things you'll need is an erection to get in there, you know? So the parentheticals of this entire thing I'm about to say and have said already are, for me, what make it so funny. Because what's not being said is what the audience creates in their head, and that is an audience member who's not there being pissed off that he's being picked on. He's got a job he doesn't like, and I just like saying Napa Auto Parts makes me laugh. And oh, by the way, circling back, and yeah, that 1 cent fucking bothers me. That doesn't really get a laugh every night, or if it does, it's tiny, but I just love it. I love 1 cent at the end of, he's already underpaid, and then they insult him by giving him 1 penny towards the next dollar, 400, whatever the number, and the number changes every night. I make $350.01 a week. And yes, that 1 cent bothers me, okay? So he finally gets the nerve out to ask a girl out. He brings her to a show. And the comedian, me, who's now a make-believe another comedian, says, do you ever spell it backwards? Like his name, like he's a dick because his name's a dick. B-O-B, B-O-B. And he's so enraged that when I walk off stage, if he's not unconscious from drinking one Long Island iced tea with NyQuil in it, and being hit in the face with a frying pan from the bartender, he's going to punch me in my temple. With one punch, he's going to make me unconscious. And then he's going to fuck my ass in a you-will-never-forget-what-that-guy's-name-was way. And that's going to draw a crowd, funny man. Two straight guys. He's assuming I'm straight, by the way. Butt-fucking outside of a comedy club. What I've never realized until right now was you have to take an unconscious comedian from inside the comedy club and take him outside the comedy club to fuck him. Oh my God. There's a transport that I've never even realized. I honestly have never thought about any of my material this way in my life. But I should start. But I'll get a big head because this is fucking brilliant. I'm going to knock you out, and then I'm going to rape your ass. And that'll draw a crowd, funny man, two straight guys butt-fucking outside of a comedy club. How did we get outside? Did somebody help him carry me? Did they take my pants down? Did I come too? And then they just, oh my God. And the crowd around us will be screaming, fuck, fuck, fuck. I love that because when there's a fight on the playground, all the kids chant, fight, fight, fight. But instead I'm chanting, F-U-C-K, F-U-C-K. Now it gets really filthy. And when I come, this is me back to the bit. And when I come, and then I pause there, and there's a laugh, I'm going to pull out and I'm going to write Bob on your back. That gets a big laugh. I go, but in cursive, because I'm fancy. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I haven't realized this before. The guy's so angry that I haven't taken the time to get, I haven't taken the time to get to know him at all. And he wants me to know one of the things I missed about Bob was that he's actually a fancy person. So when he writes Bob in jism across my back with his semen, he's going to write it in cursive because he's fancy. And then I continue with the bit. But that's not the worst part, even though you'll probably think it is, as you're laying there wondering how much Listerine and hot baths and turpentine can get Bob off your back from semen. And the answer is none. The worst part is the ellipses I put at the end, dot, 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 and I like actually shake my hand where my dick is, like I'm doing it. I go, because with that ellipses, you don't know when I'm coming back. And that, this guy's going to write Bob, dot, 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 so that I'm always looking over my shoulder because he didn't finish Bob, like Bob, period. I know he's done raping me forever. But Bob, dot, 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 there's unanswered questions. And then I say, you'll be 90 years old in a nursing home in Boca Raton, Florida. A guy will walk into your room and go, hey, how you doing? I'm your new day nurse. My name is Bob. And you'll throw up in your mouth, choke, and die. So keep it up. And that's where it ends. It's a public service announcement to the audience. All of them, I'm not going to pick on you, and I've created this maniacal, ass-raping scene where a comic gets knocked unconscious and carried. I never even realized a comic has to be carried outside. Oh my God. Did they get a dolly from behind the bar and carry him out? And then after a pause, I will look at somebody, or I'll say first, so if I ask you a question tonight, I really, truthfully, only want to know the answer. So don't worry. What's your name right here? And I'll point to somebody. And that person, 100% of the time, pauses for a split second because they want to say Bob, and they don't. And they'll say their name like Art. And I'll go, you thought about saying Bob, didn't you? And then I'll go and I'll like shake the guy's hand. I go, that's great, man. That's funny. Good. So I get the audience on my side. I get the audience relaxed, more relaxed. So later on, when I ask them a question, they're not defensive and on guard. They know I just want to know the answer. But I didn't realize this till now. 100% of the time, the person I ask, the guy that I ask, well, there's a nanosecond of a pause where that guy thinks about saying Bob. It's fucking, holy shit. It's kind of amazing. So I put an Easter egg in their basket for them, too. Basically, I'm the best, you know. So there's my first ever breakdown of one of my bits. And holy smokes, I think I should do more because I feel good about myself right now. Jesus Christ. How did they get the comedian outside? Comedy science. Come see me do stand-up, please. I hope you do. Hit the Patreon page at jmoore.com. My poetry is at jmoore.com. And so is a lot of other cool stuff. I love you guys. Put your name on it.
I'm behind you 100% of the time. I'm behind you 100% of the time. And if I stray one day, that's okay, baby. I'm behind you 100% of the time. I no longer get this.